All right. Good evening. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. Good to see each and every one of you here tonight. It's a good day. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening or what's happening in the world today, it's a good day. Amen. You're alive. You're breathing. You're here for a purpose. And if no one's told you they love you yet today, I love you. Amen. I love you, Brother Mike. And, you know, it's crazy to think that it's already, like I said, November 1st. The year to end all years is quickly coming to an end. And you know what? We're at the bottom. The only place we got to go is up. Right? We're gonna make it through, and we're coming out on the other side even better. And I just want to, there's a couple scriptures I want to look at tonight. We're going to look at Psalms 37. We're going to look at the first seven verses of that scripture. You know, I was paging through and, you know, kind of just looking at things this week, and this verse came up. It was a friend of mine posted this verse, and I've just been kind of looking at it and kind of just... Do you ever just read something in the scripture and you keep coming back to it, and you try to figure out what is God saying in these verses? And I feel like it's something that we all could, there's some meat in there that we could all learn a little bit of something from. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how long you've been doing this, there's always something more you can learn about God and about His Word. So what I want to look at tonight is Psalm chapter 37, starting in verse 1. And we're going to look at the King James Version. We're going old school tonight. Okay? In the King James Version, it starts out in verse 1. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Now, what does that mean? Plain English, it means don't worry about wicked people. We all have wicked people in our lives. We can name a couple of them. Don't do it right now, okay? But there's some people, we all have people in our lives that are wicked, that are evil, that do bad things. It's saying here, fret not because of them. Don't worry about those people. Stop it. Don't worry about those people. Don't worry about the evildoers or be envious of people that work iniquity. Don't envy people that are doing wrong. See, we got people that are wicked. Don't worry about them. We see, and sometimes we see wicked people that are prospering. God says, don't worry about them either. Don't worry about it. Leave them alone, because in verse 2 it says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." He's saying, don't worry about these people, because they're going to be cut away like grass. See, grass, it grows in the summer. And it gets brown in the winter. It goes away. It withers away quickly whenever it gets hot, right? Or whenever the season changes, grass goes away really quick. That's one of the first things that dies off, right, is grass. And I love that when it gets really hot in the summer and you don't have to mow the yard anymore because it's dead. I love it. And it's the same people with the wicked people. Those people that are in our lives that are wicked, you say, don't worry about them because they're going away. See, it talks about wicked people as grass that withers away. And over in the Bible, it talks about Christians as being a tree. You see, a tree planted by the water blooms no matter what is going on around it. No matter the heat that comes. See, the heat is going to, when the heat is on, the grass goes away. But when the heat is on, the tree is still standing. The tree is still there no matter what's going on. So God's telling us, don't worry about those people. They're going away. Worry about you. I tell my kids that a lot. Worry about you. Don't worry about them. Because you ever get onto your kids and they want to tell you what everybody else is doing or what their little brother did or what their little sister did? And you're like, don't worry about you. Or don't worry about them. Worry about you. Be different. Be a different you. Be you. Don't worry about them. So it's saying there, fret not. Stop worrying about those people. They're going away. In verse 3, it starts to give us a promise. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. It says, trust. Look at that word there. Trust. The word that it uses there is talking about the object of confidence. It's saying, trust in the Lord. Make the Lord the object of your confidence. Put all of your trust, all of your worry, put all of that on God. Trust in the Lord. Make him the object of your confidence. Because in Proverbs 14 and 26, it says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Saying those that put their trust in the Lord are going to be secure. So when you stop worrying about other people and you put your trust in the Lord, your path is going to be secure. No matter what you think you don't have, God will provide it. See, that's the thing there. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Going back to Psalm 37 and 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. He's saying, while you're trusting in the Lord, do something good. Make good in the world. That's what it's saying there. Make good in the world around you. In Hebrews 10 and 24, it tells us to stir each other up in love and good works. See, many of us, we've got the stirring people up part down pat, right? You know anybody like that? They can stir some folks up. That's my son, my oldest son. He can get my youngest one going. Casey saw it today. He'll run up, get him stirred up, and then like run away when they start coming back at him. Be like, they're being mean to me. Well, you just stirred him up. It's saying, stir people up, but don't stir them up for bad. Stir them up for good and good works. So we're trusting God and we're making good in the world. What happens in that verse? Going back to Psalm 37 and 3. When we trust the Lord and do good works, and it says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So he's telling us, trust in God, create good in the world, and dwell in the land. What does that mean? Dwell in the land. Now the land here is telling us, okay, to dwell, to inhabit, to settle down. Get that word. The word for dwell means to settle down, to abide in the land. The land that it's referring to here is the promises of God. Okay, when the children of Israel were in Egypt and they were in bondage, God promised them that he would take them out and he rescued them, but they had no home. He promised them, I will give you a land to live in, to abide in. I have a promise for you. Okay, keep up with me here. So he's saying, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to have a place for you, a place to belong. It's the same way with us, with God and the things of God. He's got a place for us to live. He's got a place for us to belong to. And he says there to dwell in that land. Go to the promises of God and stay there. Build a house. You're not passing through. You don't have an RV. Build a house. Dwell in the land. Settle down. In layman's term, that means bloom where you're planted. Anybody ever heard that? It's a very common phrase. It's been there. No one's really sure where the origin of that comes from, but because people have been saying it for hundreds of years. But you know what? It still rings true today. Bloom where you're planted. God tells us to dwell in the land that he has for us. Go there and bloom. There's places that God wants us to be. There's things that God wants us to do, but the only way you're going to be there is to be there. Build a house. Dwell in the things of God. It's about being here now. When you're dwelling in the things of God, you're being present in the place that God has for you. Because see, it's really easy to get ahead of yourself. You ever think about all the things you're going to do or you've got plans. When I get to this point, or when I make this much money, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to do things for God when I hit this point. Anybody ever said that? Well, guess what? Stop doing it. God says, dwell where you're at right now. Bloom where you're planted. Because like it says in Jeremiah 17 and 8, talking about being a righteous man, it says, "For he is a tree planted by the water that spreadeth out roots by the river and shall not see when the heat comes. And her, but her leaves shall be green, and that and shall be careful in the years, or and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Bloom where you're planted. Don't wait till tomorrow to say, I'm gonna love God tomorrow. I'm gonna do things for God tomorrow, because you know what? Tomorrow never comes. You ever been there? Tomorrow never comes, because life always happens. And we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So he says, do it now. Dwell in my word, in my land. Dwell in my promises now. Because then it says, after we trust in the Lord, we do good, we dwell in the land, it says, verily thou shalt be fed. I love that. You're going to be fed. I've had a lot of feeding, right? I got a lot of feeding. I love food. It says, you're going to be fed. What that means is you're going to be provided for. When you give God all of everything, he's going to take care of everything else. He's going to take care of all the details. That's what he's talking about there. He's going to, when you dwell in his land, you create the good around you. He will provide for you and meet your needs. In one translation, it says to feed on his faithfulness. Because God is faithful. Because in Philippians 4:19, it says, but God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. God is going to supply everything that you need. Everything that you think you lack. Everything that you think you're missing out on. God's going to take care of that. If we do those things, if we trust in him, we do good, we dwell in the land that he's given us, the place where we find ourselves right now. See, don't shortchange the process when you're dwelling in the land. God, sometimes we go through some very hard things. And God wants us to be there and be present and bloom right there and learn some things. Don't get ahead of God. It's a freebie right there. It's a little extra tidbit. Don't get ahead of God, okay? Now, back to Psalm 37. In verse 3, it says to trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and you're going to be fed, you're going to be taken care of. Then it goes on to say in verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. It means take joy, find enjoyment in the things of God. There's so many things in life that want to take our time, or take our joy, or take our laughter. And he's saying, delight in the things of God. Find enjoyment. Realize that the Bible and Christianity is more than just a set of rules of stuff you're not supposed to do. See, growing up, that's how I looked at God. I looked at God and the Bible as a rule book. And you know, the girls sang that song tonight. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what you've done, he still loves you. See, don't overcomplicate it thinking that God is looking to smack you upside the head every minute when you messed up. See, growing up, I looked at God as a set of rules that had to be followed, and there's no joy in that. When you're just going through the motions, there's no delight in the Lord. But see, what he's saying here is, delight in the Lord. Take joy. Get your peace, your fulfillment from him. Have an eternal focus. Because when you delight yourself in the Lord, in verse 4 there it says, he shall give thee the desires of your heart. See, when you delight yourself in the Lord, You're drawing closer to Him. Drawing closer to the things of Him. In James 4 and 8, you know, we say this verse a lot, you know, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Plain English, that means get closer to God and He's going to get closer to you. That's what He's saying. When you get close to the things of God, your heart begins to line up with the heart of God. Your walk and your steps line up with the things of God. And your desires become the desires of God. And when you're walking with Him, it says He'll give you the desires of your heart. And ending it off in verse 5. It says to commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust in Him also, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way to the Lord. Commit everything that you have to God. That word there, I was looking at it, commit. Kind of threw me off. Because in all of this, He's talking about, you know, trust in Him, dwell in the land, delight in Me. And then it goes, commit. The Hebrew word that it uses there, it was the craziest thing. It was the word that it uses means to roll upon. I got to begin to looking at that. And as I begin to study that out, it's a metaphor taken from a camel. I'm not a camel man, but a camel, apparently, it's trained, it lies down, and the guy the caravan people, they take they roll everything up into a big bundle, and when the camel lays down, they roll it up onto the camel. So they roll everything that they have, all the stuff that they're carrying with them, they roll it onto the camel. So the word that is used in there on commit, it means to roll upon. Roll everything you've got, put it on the back of God. When you commit your life to God, it's saying, take everything that you have, roll it up in a big ball, roll it on to God. Let Him shoulder the burden. Let Him carry the cross. Get that. Let Him take it. All of the problems that you have, all of the junk that you face, all of the people that are coming against you, roll them up in a big ball and roll them onto God. Roll it on to Him. Let Him shoulder the load. When you let Him do that, you begin to trust in Him. You find security in Him. And then the promise there, it says, and He shall bring it to pass. The it that it's talking about there is all the stuff in life. When you leave the choice and the direction and you put all of the burden onto Him, it's awesome. It's a great thing. Because then in verse 7 it says, rest in the Lord. So get this progression. We're looking at all this. It says to trust in Him, to dwell in Him, delight in Him, roll all of your burdens onto Him, and then take a nap. Rest in the Lord. So many times we run around through life, running from thing to thing to thing, and we get burnt out. You ever get burnt out? Whew. Man. But He's saying, when you put the burden onto Him, you can rest. You can be silent. You can be still. See, when you put your rest in the Lord, and then it says, wait patiently for Him. It ends off with that. Rest in the Lord. When you've done all of these things, take a nap because God's got this. There ain't nothing you need to worry about. There's nothing in the world you need to worry about. I feel like some people need to know that. More people in life need to know this. More people in our community need to know this. That when you trust in God and you truly roll everything onto Him, dude, you don't have to worry. You no longer have to worry. You can rest. You can take a nap. You can drool on your pillow.
Hallelujah.
You can... Because there's a peace that comes from God. I know some of y'all are visualizing that, just drooling on the pillow. But see, that's the promises of God. That's the promise that we have with God when we leave it all to Him. We can rest. We can be silent. And we can wait patiently for Him. That's what it says there. It ends off in that verse. Wait patiently. You don't have to get ahead of things. You don't have to fix problems. You don't have to fix people. Because God's already working on it. Even when you don't see it, I love that song. Even when you don't see it that He's working, He's working. Even when you don't. So take a nap. Rest. Stop running around. Love God. In Psalm 46:10, I'm going to leave off with this verse. It sums that up. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." When it all comes down to it, shut up and know that God's got this. All right? So remember, trust in God. Dwell where He's got you. Delight in Him. Commit everything to Him. And then take a nap. That's our progression. Write that down. You have my permission to go home and take a nap. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank You for today. We thank You for each and every person here. Lord, I ask that You would help us to remember these words, to remember to trust in You, to dwell in the place that You have for us right now, to delight in Your word and Your promises, and to commit everything we have to You so we can rest. Lord, we give You all of the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.